Hey everyone, welcome back. It is Michael Thiessen here, a full-time Vue educator, and I'm here with Alex and Harlan.
Hey, yeah. Welcome everybody.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So for everybody not knowing me, Nux team member, as the other guy in the other side of the video or wherever he is. Also, doing a bit of content creation and a little bit of consultancy with regards to Vue and Nux.
Yeah, I'll introduce myself since I'm a box in the corner somewhere. I'm part of the Nux core team. I'm living in Australia. However, I've been traveling for like the last 9 months or something. Back in Australia at the moment and just hacking away at some random Nux projects, SaaS projects, just whatever interests me at the moment.
Yeah, so we wanted to talk to you specifically about this SaaS hackathon project type thing that you did. But you were, I don't know, living the dream in a way, like backpacking and traveling while doing open source. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I was in a position where, I was traveling for ages and I just had a very old laptop that I still have that is held together with sticky tape. Wow. And whenever I have any downtime, it's not good. Whenever I have any downtime, like, on a bus or train somewhere at the hostel and nothing's happening, just whip it out and sort through some issues, work on some projects. It's pretty cozy.
And you want to say that you did all of the work on that laptop that also got away sticky tape? Did I get it right?
Yeah. So if anyone is like saying, "Oh, I need a MacBook to like, I don't know, be a programmer," like, they really don't. Yeah. This thing's like 4 years, 5 years old. Like you can do a lot with a little these days.
Amazing! Wow. And not only that, so you're traveling, you're doing open source, and now you also released an open source SaaS application. Yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about that? Like, how did that come to your mind, what it is, and why it's an open source SaaS, which is not super common nowadays, but getting a bit more common, apparently.
Yeah, so I've spent far too long at this point within the SEO stack. For whatever reason, I think it was because I was working previously as a contractor, and one of the biggest things for me to do was, hey, we need to drive more traffic to our website. And from a technical standpoint, how can I actually help with that? Is okay, I can make the website faster, I can optimize for all these technical SEO details. Within Nux 2, that was very painful. So when Nux 3 came along, I wanted to kind of jump in there and sort this out and make things easier for everyone. So being across this landscape of all these projects going on, I did see within the last like 6 months, there's been heaps of like other SaaS projects and one other open source one that popped up around. I'm not going to say hacking this API from Google, but basically using it in a way that you're not meant to use it per their documentation. However, everyone else is doing it and it seems to work. So when I saw this script, Google indexing script, come up on Google, and I think within like a week it had gone from 0 to 5,000 stars.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, okay. People really want this. However, the issue with it is you have to go and create a Google Cloud account, and you have to go and create your IAM permissions and security credentials, and then add it to your Google Search Console, which is fine for a developer. But if you don't have a Google Cloud account or you don't want to mess around for half an hour. It'd be nice if there was another way. So we can just use OAuth to like authenticate the user session and they can get started within like a minute. So yeah, I thought it was just a fun little problem to solve. And so this was one side. And the other side is that there's been a few indie hackers who have kind of adopted Nuxt, and they're kind of like, hey, Nuxt is so great. Here's my SaaS product I've built with it. One example is Pally, which is social media scheduling. And I think Headshot Pro, Headshot, whatever, by Danny. That one is also Nuxt. Those guys have been amazing in kind of pushing the good word. However, there hasn't really been any open source ones. They've really been kind of telling the Nuxt story of like, hey, it's pretty easy to get set up, guys. Like, you have everything you need. Just kind of get in there. So I thought I'd tell that story of, yeah, you can make a SaaS. It doesn't take too long. Here's a problem. Yeah.
And how long did it take you? Like, that's, I think that's a very important point.
Yeah, so it took in total 64 hours.
64
and
hours.
That was cramming, wow. Yeah, cramming through a few silly bugs. And I think I actually opened a bunch of pull requests while I was working on it, because there was a few unstorage APIs I was trying to use that were experimental and just ran into a few bugs.
Crazy.
But yeah, this is the way.
One question that I have, which is non-technical, but the thing that struck me when you were saying that you put 64 hours in, and this was over like 5 days, something like that? Like a week.
Yeah, so less than a week.
How did you do that without your mind turning to mush? Because I've done some hackathons before, and I like, you know, you get super excited and you go all out. And by like day three, I'm like, my brain is just like done. And all I can do at that point is, you know, sit on a couch and watch Netflix or something. And like, my brain has totally given up on me. So I'm wondering how you managed to get through that.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think it's kind of twofold. Firstly, like, I think when some people go into this hackathon mentality, they like will put that above every other aspect of their life. So they won't be doing their normal routines or habits. So when I was going through it, I was still exercising every day. I was eating healthy, like meditating daily. Like there wasn't really too much of a change in my routine, minus just instead of spending a few hours watching YouTube, I was just working. But it also helps that I didn't have anything social on, and I had no obligations to anyone else. I just had free rein. Yeah, the other side of it is, I think if I was doing this every week, it would be quite unsustainable. I take my work quite seriously, but then I also take my leisure quite seriously. So
good point.
I think, yeah, once I like wrap up this little next update, like I'll probably take off a few days of work and just chill out and not really do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think for me, I've noticed that if I don't stick to like this, the same daily routine, and like you said, exercising and eating right, and you know, still trying to sleep properly and all of that, then it's just like
won't work.
Takes a nose dive. But
yeah, same for me.
It's very hard. Like I definitely failed at the sleep aspect, but at least I could hold on to some other of my habits. Yeah, but I really enjoy the having kind of like a bit of a grind and just getting something out there and being done with it, kind of move on in a way.
It's like a marathon, you know, or it's like you run a marathon. You're not expecting to run a marathon every week, but it's really awesome to be able to push yourself and to say, oh yeah, I did that. Look at what I'm capable of doing. And so, yeah, it's really neat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Now a bit more of a technical question coming to the SaaS. Of course, it will also be linked in the show note. And if, also, before I ask, what is the name and the URL of your SaaS? I know people will look it up anyway, but just so it's mentioned here.
Yeah, it's called requestindexing.com, which is the label of the button in Google Search Console when you want to tell Google to index your page. It's a bit of a jab at the fact that this even exists, because you think Google would be kind of smart enough to just index your pages.
So it's, let's say it's very descriptive. Like it couldn't be a better fitting name description wise.
Yeah, there might have been some like, you know, SEO keyword optimization.
Yeah, okay. But you can always cram that into your like meta description and your title anyway. The technical question would be, you said, okay, you use Nux to build that application in less than a week and in these like super low amount of hours. Could you enlighten us a bit more what tech stack you used exactly? Like, I mean, Nux as the base is pretty nice. Like, did you use a component library? Did you use some authentication modules? Probably use your own SEO module. So yeah, bring these on and tell us all about it.
Yeah, sure. So the most valuable add-on I had there, the UI package I used, Nuxt UI, is just such a breeze to use. Like coming from many other UI frameworks, having one that just kind of integrates so nicely with Nuxt, that sped me up like significantly. And it helped a lot that Sebastian gave me a key for Nuxt UI Pro, which comes with even more components. So they actually have a SaaS template. It doesn't have a crazy amount of components, but for like building out the landing page, it was really useful. And I think that was definitely the most useful. And the nice part about it as well is everything just kind of looks coherent, and you have a dark mode out of the box. And if you need to hack it, you can hack it very easily, which you can't really do as easily with like Vuetify. I mean, you definitely can hack it with Vuetify, but it's like maybe 5% less intuitive, I would argue. Besides that, Nuxt SEO I used. There's not really many pages on the site at the moment, but the OG module, OG image module, was helpful just to get that nice little splash when I shared it on Twitter. Absolutely. And I used Nuxt Auth Utils for the authentication. This is a library by Sebastian, who kind of built it as an experiment just to like test out what APIs we want to kind of maybe support for the official Nuxt Auth module. So I thought it would be a good idea just to kind of play around with it so I could give him some feedback. In retrospect, I think it's, if you're just trying to move fast, it's like missing a couple of things, which kind of slowed me down. But it was still very useful. Like, I only needed Google OAuth, so it's actually quite simple. It's just, you know, send a redirect, handle the redirect when it comes back. In Nitro, we have session storage now, so that makes all of this really simple. Just throw everything into the session, and the user's logged in, and you can persist that session. Quite simply, just extend the cookie duration, and you don't really need to worry about anything else. And I think that's about it.
Sweet, yeah.
Yeah, I try to avoid using any other APIs, really, because I wanted to really showcase what Nuxt itself could do. So I avoided Superbase purely for that reason.
I mean, you already just mentioned, like, you technically, you said Nuxt UI, which is based on Tailwind as well, right? So if you would have even like added more time or said, okay, I want to fully handcraft it, you could even roll it on your own. But that's great at Nuxt UI. Nuxt UI Pro gave you a little bit of a speed up with the components existing there. And when it came to authentication, said you use Nuxt Auth Utils, which is a nice choice. And of course, I hope you, as you said, you gave some feedback as in what missed to make it even faster, like more hands-on, so it can be used? Because especially in the Nuxt community, you also know that there's this big topic of, oh, when does the Nuxt off module come out? And we always say like, yeah, we want to provide these lower level building blocks so you can really easily craft it on your own, which is also, I think, what you've shown with your SaaS.
Yeah, I hope we can make some more progress towards that. And I think, yeah, Nuxt Auth Utils is a good stepping stone.
One of the things that I noticed when I was poking around in the code base a little bit was that there's a lot of stuff going on in the back end here. And when I talk with some people, they often seem to assume that Nuxt is only really good for front end stuff, and you can have a back end, but like it's only for like really basic stuff. And then really like the best way is to proxy to like some other API solution or whatever else. But that it's really not the case. Like Nuxt has a whole ton of stuff you can do with it. And so I notice you have like you're saying auth, but I notice there's like you're persisting analytics with unstorage and like doing, you have a simple crawler that you've implemented with Nuxt and a whole bunch of these other little, not little, but like more complicated backend things that you maybe wouldn't expect Nuxt to be able to do. Do you want to explain more about some of these things and what you found building with those?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I would agree that Nuxt does have that kind of general thought about it is, just simple APIs are good. And it does stem from, I think, other frameworks providing more of a hands-on, standardized way of handling common back-end logic. So if you're coming from like Laravel, you'll have like a queue system. You'll have all these documented APIs that you are going to be able to use very simply. So Nuxt itself, since it's running within a server, you can, at least the back end, you can do anything that you could do. Not within Node necessarily. If you know how to use the Nuxt APIs, you can do anything you kind of want. I would say the logic within request indexing is quite simple, maybe not for those who haven't done a lot of complex stuff in the back end before, but I think there's a lot more interesting things we can do, and I'm actually exploring them at the moment. So one of the things that I didn't do because I couldn't, just didn't have time for it, is I need to ingest all of this data from Google Search Console. However, my app is potentially going to be running within a Edge runtime or a serverless runtime. So I can't actually rely on, a request that's going to take a few minutes to run as part of like when a user logs in. So that's quite like an interesting technical question of like, okay, how do we ingest this data? Do we have to spin up a different server to handle it? So there is a solution there. Like there's something called like message queuing, and I'm actually exploring maybe making a Nuxt module for it once it's a bit more stable. But you can do anything on the Nuxt server, and I would like to create more of these standardized APIs to make it more exciting and interesting. And I think Nitro tasks as well will be a big step forward in making a lot of this stuff easier as well, which if you don't know, is kind of like a scheduler, or if you want logic to run when you start the app, for example, running some migrations. So there's lots of work kind of being done around making that experience more robust and hopefully, make everyone happy and think differently about the Nuxt backend.
Yeah, I think these are really good points, as in the comparison with Laravel, for example, as someone also coming from Laravel myself years ago. Like also with, I don't know, Nest.js, for example, you feel like these are more like streamlined when you say, okay, you can do things. There are tons of examples, there are tons of packages already there. And I have the feeling what Nitro lacks is mostly like, let's say, a cookbook with examples saying, oh, hey, this is how you can do it. Or as you said, these like more streamlined packages or helpers, just or even Nitro modules saying, okay, yeah, if you need a scheduler or like a queue, here, just drop that in, use it, and you're good to go. Because functionality-wise, most of these things work already. It's just a matter of how and if you want to build them yourself or not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and not everyone has the time or capabilities to build it themselves. So I think it's quite understandable that they reach for these other APIs.
Definitely, but I think
other frameworks. Sorry,
especially on our end, and there's quite a bit to do to improve the, let's say, the smoothness and developer experience. Just saying, hey, okay, we can provide these things. Without running into problem into like, okay, we have to provide a so general solution that it works for everything again, and then it will take ages to develop. Like we had the issue with the general auth module again, as I mentioned before. But yeah, I think that's always difficult to balance. They're good points, and I think the verdict in the end is that like Nuxt and also Nitro are very powerful, can run anywhere, and can do lots of things. As you've shown, as you're exploring, I'm really curious what will come out there. So definitely keep us in the loop there, and you'll probably post a tweet or have a call on X as soon as there's something new, or just a module will be there out of the blue. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it will be fun to explore.
I really hope so. Yeah, and now that your SaaS is out for a little bit at least, you've seen a lot of feedback, a lot of people using it. Did you, if you want to share that, of course, made any income, any revenue with the SaaS so far?
Yep. So no money has been made, which I'm not entirely surprised about. I think the onboarding and the general use of it is still a bit clunky. So I'll probably spend like one more week on it, on just cleaning everything up and improving like the flow of this. But I'll probably leave it on autopilot and see what happens. I don't necessarily need to make any money on it, as it was just a fun little open source project to build. But that would be cool.
Absolutely.
It's just like a, it's just like a Stripe, what they call it, payment link at the moment. So I didn't bother building like a full on Stripe integration, because I thought, you know, if someone actually wants to pay money for this, if they're trying to solve the problem, then they're fine to use a payment link. And I think this is actually something, you know, important to keep in mind if you're building your own SaaS, is like, you know, not to over engineer it, not to build things that you may not need when the idea isn't actually validated yet. And like, will people pay for this? I don't know. Like if that's answered and people will pay for it, then I'll spend more time on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point about keeping the scope down. So that's something that's always hard to do. And I've been trying to get better at this myself. Like every week, every day, trying to think, okay, am I letting the scope on this project just like blow out of proportion? Like what can I rein in? What do I actually need to do? What's not important? So I'd be interested to know, were there things that you planned to do, but you decided not to do? And I guess just in general, how did you think about scoping this down so that you could actually ship something by the end of your 64-hour long week?
Yeah, so It was definitely something continuously running through my mind, of like balancing like, oh, what can this do? Because I need to make it exciting first. I don't have time to do everything. Mm-hmm. Let's cut everything back. So I think what helped was really knowing who I was building for. I was building for developers on Twitter who are probably going to click on it and be like, oh, this is interesting. Maybe I'll sign up and just click around for a bit and then never use it again. That's my market, because that was who I'm going to announce it to. If I'm going to post it in other channels, maybe I'll do more work to make their experience slightly better. So one thing that I did cut back on was originally I was just going to let you sign in with your own key. So you wouldn't need to go through my OAuth. I wouldn't have any of your data. So from a privacy point of view, like amazing, because I don't see anything that you're doing. However, the people that actually really care about that, very minuscule probably. So it ends up being like, okay, what am I spending this time on? Who is it for? And while it may look cool and people are like, oh, that's so cool, so private, at the end of the day, like if no one's actually using it, what's the point? And the other one is, yeah, this ingesting of data, which is a very important feature because Google Search Console will delete your data after, what was it, 16 months. So that's actually quite an annoying problem as well to solve. And I just didn't have the time for it. And yeah, I don't think people signing up, it's not necessarily a super urgent problem to solve because the data is getting deleted by the day anyway. So if it's like a week late, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, very interesting. I think also like good lessons learned, as in like know your audience, figure out what they want. Or if you say, hey, okay, maybe I will rethink about other audiences and then cater them what they need. And as you said, cut down on features that might seem nice from like a developer perspective, but for the end user, it might not be as important as for the person implementing, let's say. So yeah, very, very good points there.
Yeah. How do you guys generally feel about like cutting back on scope? Do you have any like methodologies you use or anything you try and remind yourself?
I don't know if I have like a specific methodology. I often think about what is important. Like what I think it's important to come back to the end goal that you have in mind. Like you were saying, what is the audience here? What am I actually trying to achieve? I find that when I get into the weeds on a project, it's really easy to be like, oh, this button, man, I should have this cool animation to it, or the padding isn't that great. But you really need to like step back and be like, okay, is this making this project better, or should I, you know, fix this auth bug that's preventing people from logging into the thing in the first place? And then it's funny because I've been trying to more now just sort of leave things and say, okay, that's good enough. I want to work on it more, but maybe I'll come back to it in the future. And then a week later, 2 weeks later, I forget that I even had that desire because I've like moved on, and now my brain is like ultra focused on like this other weirdly specific thing. And the thing that I was fixated on before, it turns out to not actually be that big of a problem. And, you know, with time, I just forget about these things. And so it's like, don't put all of these tiny little bugs in your backlog because you're going to forget about them anyway. And the big things keep coming up again and again. I don't use a backlog. I just rely on my brain for the most part. But yeah, that's my general approach.
And I guess also if that like button style would like annoy you, you will come across it again and be like the second or the third time, like, okay, now I really want to do it because now it pokes my eyes every now and then. And either you will see it again or it's not that important. Yeah.
Well, and there's sometimes things that I want to do for fun, like, oh, maybe I can add like a nice little drop shadow and an animation, and like I'll take 15 minutes to fiddle with that because it's fun for me, and then I'll move on to something more valuable, more productive.
But I think it's also important, like especially when working on own stuff, it's always like a nice balance between, okay, you want to get things done, but you also want to have like some eye catcher or just like some fun things want to play around in a way. But when I think like, I don't know, I never been someone saying, okay, I want to have everything like super polished, pixel perfect, which also leads me to a point where I'm like, okay, functionality is done, things work, but it's ugly, let's say. And then getting the last 20% for me is always like, I'm by no means a designer. Like I see if something looks okay or good, but if something looks bad and it's like, okay, what's the problem? It takes a little bit. So I think that's where I either just said like, okay, let's just ship it. It will work for people. And if people actually use it, then I will improve on the design. Or somebody also saying, okay, if design mm-hmm. is a certain like part of it, then either get some help or like then add a few hours on there. But yeah, I really try to focus on make it work, then make it nicer. And maybe in between also make it fast. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something I struggle with on request indexing, actually, is I'm a little too much of a perfectionist on like how things look. However, in terms of like cutting out features, I'm fine to cut things, but as long as it like looks polished and like using it is a nice experience. However, that's probably not necessary. It's just, I don't know. Just something I want to do, you know. It's like it makes the project more fun for me, and I think at the end of the day, like if you're not having fun, like what's the point?
Yeah, big point for sure, like motivation,
at least for like open source work, right?
Yeah
Well, and it's like the issue is figuring out what to polish, because you want to have polish when you're finishing up a project and gonna ship it out to people. Because first impressions and how people use it actually matter. And so I think you did a really good job with request indexing, because it's you get to the page and there's all these like, I like the different cards and things you put on there that have like, it's like mock data, but it's like a live UI that gives you a sense of what you're about to sign into. And I think that polish is really necessary, because it draws you in. When I get there, I'm like, oh, this is what it is, and I want to log in and try it out. Versus if it was just like simple text, this is what it does. I think that's not as compelling. But yeah, it's tricky to know what parts to polish and what parts shouldn't have that polish. And
that's the if you're not a designer, the hack is just to throw your components on the homepage with mock data. Works every time.
And I mean, it's the most honest you can get your users to show, right? Like, hey, this is how it will look like with some fancy data, so they're not like surprises. And, oh, I thought it's different. No, and you never have to update that, because if you update your component, it's also there.
Yeah, it's a good time.
All right. I think let's maybe slowly wrap it up. There were like some really valuable info here. As usual, you can follow Harlan on Twitter/X, on GitHub, of course, as well. All the links will be down there. Definitely have a look into request indexing. Harlan, is there anything that you think like, how could we miss that? How did you not ask about that or anything like, this is important. I want to share that.
I think you guys, you did a great job. From like a technical standpoint, the project itself isn't too crazy in terms of complexity. But yeah, I plan to grow it, and I'll plan to kind of just post about solving some of these architectural issues. So if it interests you in terms of like the creating kind of like a message queuing system, just follow my socials and you'll see some updates on that.
Awesome. Thanks for chatting with us.
Yeah, thanks for joining. And
yeah, thanks so much, guys. It was fun.
It was so much fun. We'll stay tuned for all the updates, and we'll follow up on that message queue module for sure.